Trick or treat!
Oh my, is it that time of year again? All those lovely trick or treaters with their scrummy candy.
You scared us off last year by singing.
We left all our candy here.
Promise you won't do it again.
I will not be singing for you this year, but my good friend Spock will. Take it away.
Bilbo, Bilbo Baggins, the bravest little hobbit of them all.
Spock, they've gone, and they've left all this scrummy candy.
That is illogical, but tasty, Captain.
Welcome, 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 dear listeners, one and all, to this, the latest in a long line of Staggering Stories podcast. I'm Crumbly.
I'm Fake Keith.
I'm Adam.
I'm Jean.
I'm Asterman.
And I, yes, I am actually no longer the last person.
No, because we have a guest.
We do. Ooh,
yes, hello.
Who are you?
I'm Jay.
It's Jay.
Yay!
He wants to make sure that we don't do silly voices when reading out his feedback.
So he flew all this way over and personally attended.
And do you know what the first thing he said was?
What?
He complained that the email address wasn't long enough. Because, of course, we want people to contact us via show
at staggeringstories.net.
Woohoo! Anyway, dear listeners, bizarre trick or treating besides, it's the news with El Presidente.
Doctor Who news.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, 10 returns.
Oh, yeah.
10 is back. Doctor Who Series 10, that is, in musical form.
At last. Oh.
Series 10 was, of course, Peter Dugan Capaldi's final season before Jodie Auckland Whittaker replaced him as the Doctor.
Auckland?
It was also Murray Jonathan Gold's final... Adam, were you told off recently? Were you really told off by your mum and she middle-named you?
No, certainly now... not. Oh. Live for those days.
It was also Murray Jonathan Gold's final season as composer, at least until the RTD2 era, with Golden Boy rushing off to do other things that left the soundtrack to Series 10 in limbo.
Ooh.
Series 11 music by Segu Nakinola came out, as did soundtracks for all of his seasons. That left a gap.
Oh, you don't have gaps.
Now, according to an official Doctor Who YouTube short, it's happening for the Series 10 soundtrack. Back in June at the BFI, Gold confirmed he was working on several soundtracks covering Series 10 and the RTD2 era. We still don't have any dates, but we can assume it won't be too far off now.
Mmm. It is about time.
For the Christmas season.
Yeah. Giving up hope on that.
Yeah. I liked Series 10's music, so I'm looking forward to that.
Mm. I like most of Murray Gold's stuff.
Mark Gatiss.
Dead.
No. Well, sort of.
Yes.
No.
Another Christmas ghost story.
Oh.
It's getting that time of year again, so Mark Gatiss and the BBC have another Christmas ghost story lined up for us. This one, called The Room in the Tower, and adapted from the 1912 short story of the same name by E.F. Benson, cast include the likes of Joanna Lumley, Tobias Menzies, and Polly Walker. We can likely expect this on Christmas Eve.
Round about midnight.
Yes. I think I binged all of the ones that were available on iPlayer last year, with some wine, if I remember rightly.
You got one for either Christmas or birthday, didn't you, as well?
Yes, I got the big box set, didn't I? Yes.
This makes eight in a row now he's done. Quite a run.
I'm surprised he hasn't started writing a special one for Halloween night on the BBC.
Halloween isn't quite celebrated as much here, is it?
No,
Christmas ghost stories are very, right here.
He should have his own traditional box set out soon, shouldn't he? It's eight episodes.
Yeah.
Torchwood! dead. Those audio mongers at Big Finish have chosen an eccentric way to celebrate 10 years and 100 full-cast audio dramas of Torchwood by killing the range.
What a twist.
I know. The Doctor Who spin-off range has struggled since the BBC told them they could no longer employ John Barrowman, whose Captain Jack Harkness was very much the glue that held the series together. Even before he was cancelled, the monthly Torchwood range tended towards just one man cast member and a small number of guest characters, but with the occasional box set of the full team. There are four remaining main range stories coming out in November, January, March and May. After that, we are promised a final special called Torchwood Legacy on an undisclosed date.
Bit of a shame, although I must admit I did stop buying them once I canned Barrowman.
Yeah.
I thought
yeah.
that was pretty rum. Okay, at the time I blamed Big Finish. Actually, it turns out...
What was going on behind the scenes.
Watching a recent interview with him, with the guy who played Lex Luthor on Smallville.
Yes.
He implied pretty heavily it was the BBC who told Big Finish not to carry on with him.
Not being tried, not being charged, not being accused of anything, but we'll drop you like a brick. Other people, don't do it again.
So, a shame it's going, but I must be well behind anyway.
Yeah.
Jumanji!
Alive!
Fan favourite, Karen Sheila Gillan. is returning for another instalment of Jumanji, because she's broke. Her third and fourth in the series of... How can it be a third and fourth?
It's her third, but fourth in the series overall.
Okay,
her
third, but the fourth in the series overall. We know her... We know that her co-star, Dwayne Douglas Johnson, Kevin Darnell Hart and Thomas Jacob Jack Black, he gets three names, are also returning as the computer game avatars potentially now running around the real world. Mm-hmm. Talking of Torchwood, Byrne Hugh Gorman will be joining them in some capacity. Filming starts next month for a release date of December next year.
It's a pretty quick turnaround.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
Year.
But it's the same guy that plays the non-player character is still in it.
I mean, Reginald, or whatever his name was.
The NPC.
NPC.
Who knows? What was his name again?
I can't remember.
I just remember he does the...
Rhys Darby. Yes.
Because he does the adverts as well.
Yeah. I expect he'd be in it.
Someone just had an idea.
January!
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
New Star Trek and Game of Thrones series coming!
Didn't we really? Finish Game of Thrones?
Perhaps they've decided to redo Season 8.
Paramount Plus have announced that we'll finally get to see Star Trek : Starfleet Academy on the 15th of January. The first two episodes will drop on that Thursday, with eight others going out weekly until the 12th of March. A second season began shooting back in August, but is currently unclear whether there'll be a third. Meanwhile, HBO have announced that Sunday the 18th of January is the first episode of their new Game of Thrones prequel series, A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. It should have reverb on that.
Yes, it probably should.
Anyway, this one is based on the Tale of Dunk and Egg books by the occasional writer George R. R. Martin.
I know she didn't middle name him.
He's got too many.
The six episodes will go out weekly until the 22nd of February. And on the subject of Game of Thrones prequels, we're also expecting the third season of House of Dragon later this year.
Next year.
Later next year. Possibly August. We also know that the fourth season, probably due for release around about 2028, will conclude the series.
It's very depressing. I'll be 59 then. I'll nearly be 60.
Yeah.
60.
Hang on.
You remember 59?
Yeah, I can just about remember 59, yeah.
Bit of sad news is designer Drew Struzan, who was responsible for iconic movie posters such as Back to the Future, Empire Strikes Back, The Goonies, The Shawshank Redemption, The Thing, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. He died as well. He was 78.
Mm. Like, a good innings.
Untouchable talent in the world Definitely. Of poster creation.
Yeah, a lot of famous posters. I can see
chances are if you saw a movie poster back in the 80s or 90s, it was probably him that did it.
Yep.
Yeah. Let's make some good money out of that.
Any more news?
I have an addendum.
Oh, yeah.
You lied.
I suddenly remembered.
Oh, yes.
I remembered an addendum.
Okay. What is your addendum?
Sonic screwdrivers.
Oh.
That's just two words.
I know.
Now stuck Dan Summers.
Well, no, they have. There is a company called Custom Screwdrivers who do
Custom Sonics.
Custom Sonics who do reproductions of the television Sonics.
Yep.
And also produce their own variations on said Sonics, which they're quite nice. But they're not out yet. But they have presented Colin Baker. And for sale in future, Sonic canes.
It looks so cool.
As in, like, the one Matt Smith had.
Variation, but they are bona fide walking sticks. You can use them as walking sticks.
You can actually use them.
The one we saw had a knob on the end.
But they are, I think due to licenses, they can't necessarily produce the Matt Smith one.
Okay.
But they can produce a similar.
Right.
They've got two at the moment. One looks like number 10 Sonic. It's all white with crackling and whatever. And it has a big ball at the end, which lights up.
Okay.
And the other one is Matt Smith-like. It's all brass and paneling and whatever. As the Sonic screwdrivers they produce are in the three-figure number.
They're not cheap, but they are amazingly well made.
Yeah, I am sure that the walking sticks, when they produce them, will be in the three-figure number.
Oh, yeah.
But as said, they can be used as legitimate walking sticks.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Well, you know, if you need to have a walking stick, you need a really good quality one. You need to spend some money out on
them. And the walking stick I've got for when my knee goes is completely illegitimate, so it would be nice to have a legitimate one who knows who his mummy and daddy are.
And I'm using Scandinavian walking poles, you know. So
you're mocking me, you know. I can tell.
We're what, mocking you?
Yes, I can tell.
A little bit. And that's the end.
I have an addendum as well.
There's an addendum.
Yep.
What have you done to her?
Patched up, she's fine.
Puncture repair kit.
ITVX, the ITV streaming service, have got the first season of Star Trek Strange New Worlds to watch for free.
Is it just two episodes or is it the whole series?
All of season one is up there right now. I think, is it also being broadcast?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sure. I heard rumours it's being broadcast as well.
It is?
I think
they've
broadcast a couple of them maybe. But yeah, all 10 are already up on ITVX. I can see them right now.
Ooh, nice.
So you don't have to pay Paramount Plus anymore. You can watch them for free with adverts on ITVX. Or you can pay for not to have adverts, which is probably the same price as Paramount Plus.
Paramount Plus, Can I say it now?
Yeah.
And that's the end of the news.
Woohoo! Yay!
Oh, as I can't remember who it was that got the right snit on in the feedback about us not saying something to someone early enough. I think we should do it now.
You think so?
Sorry, someone got the snit that we didn't say early
enough. We keep forgetting him until the last minute.
And blatantly leaving him till the end. 1, 2, 3.
Hello, Head of Pertwee!
Hello, Terence. Hello, Dave Zillow, the mighty.
Inky McSquirtalock, Dinky McSquirtalock, Rinky McSquirtalock.
Folded
Rinky.
Up and propped against a radiator, Clara.
And hey, Sandy.
Terence.
Goats.
Graham. Nazi Churchill.
Nazi Churchill.
Nazi Spock. Dangerous Churchill. I'll get it right in a minute.
Dave Zillow, the mighty.
And various nebulas and.
And Grunhild and Nobnacker.
And a Moomin. Mm-hmm. There. Is that better? Does that satisfy you?
You know we're going to get complaints from people saying we said hello to him too early and they weren't expecting it this early in the podcast.
Well, then I will have to start spanking people.
And, oh, really?
And goats.
What? Spanking goats?
What you do in your private life?
As I said last podcast, one of those goats' eyes is bigger than the other.
Right, we went to the cinema.
Yes, we did.
Yes.
Some of us not voluntarily. Because we went to see Tron, Ares. Pause for music.
I'd like to say first that I'm very impressed that you didn't manage to put yourself asleep.
I know. Crumbly made big doe eyes when I pointed out that I really, really didn't want to go and see this, so I went.
I wouldn't say doe eyes.
You made doe eyes. You made the expression that says, I'm hurt, but I'm a grown-up man, so I won't cry. So I went to see Tron Ares. Now, I'd seen Tron in the 80s and thought it was rubbish. Mm-hmm. I saw another Tron film later than the 80s and thought that was rubbish as well. So I went along to see this, and I tell you, a bag of M&Ms and a cup of Coke really, you know, oh, God, I really enjoyed this.
It's the right sort of Coke.
No, I thoroughly enjoyed this.
I'm sorry, Karen, didn't quite catch that. Could you say that again, please?
I said I thoroughly enjoyed this.
See, I haven't been to see it for pretty much the same reasons. First one was fine, the second one was boring, and I didn't have anyone to drag me along to the cinema, so I managed to get out of it. But it's worth it then.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, this one was excellent. All the way through it, I'm sitting thinking, this is so 80s. I mean, it was 80s.
Deliberately so.
Well, especially the second half.
And then you got to the second half, which was very clearly written by the president of the Depeche Mode fan club, because they were mentioned so many times, the music.
Yeah.
But, I think I, if pushed, I'd watch this again.
No.
Crumbly, talk about it.
What's his
name? Is your name Crumbly?
No, I would just like to point out, what's his name, the main actor, Ares?
Jared Leto. Mm.
Thank you. It's, I think, his best film since the Dallas Buyers Club.
Oh.
The Dallas Cowboys?
No, the Dallas Buyers Club.
Is that what
never
it's called?
Seen it. Yeah.
The guy who runs.
I'd forgotten that's what it was called.
Yeah.
Well, one of the, I think it was a reviewer for the Daily Mail.
Good God. Yeah.
That said, they've actually made a film that makes Jared Leto likeable.
Yes! Yeah.
It's pretty rare.
Yeah. So for those of us what didn't go and see it, what's the premise of this one?
Over to you, Crumbly.
Well,
you saw it. You've got
I've admitted I enjoyed it. I don't have to talk about it.
Oh, okay.
No, it involves the construction of a security program and AI called Ares.
And spoiler music?
Spoiler music. Basically, he's a construct of a corporation run by Ed Dillinger's grandson.
Yeah.
Now, Ed Dillinger was the main antagonist in the original Tron movie. Yeah. And
David Warner,
yes.
There was a painting. Yeah, a painting of him. They had another shot of him as well.
Yeah.
Yes, and his grandson is, basically sort of...
A wanker.
Well, pretty much, yeah.
Yes.
Well, he starts off with the best of intentions, but he just gets completely corrupt and sort of using the program for his own ends.
Did he?
I don't think he started off with the best of intentions.
No, he didn't feel like
he was trying to do this for the purpose of military.
Well, military, yes.
And I'd hardly say that's best intentions.
Yeah. Well, for the military.
Okay, for the military, yes. Now, on the ENCOM side, their stuff was best of intentions.
Yeah.
It's the fact that they can bring this program, this science,
into the real world.
The actual real world. I did like when they 3D printed them.
Yeah, it was like something out of Minecraft, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, you've got the framework that shatters into crystal.
Yes.
That
all
surrounds
the supports,
them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which you do have in real 3D printing sometimes.
Yeah.
Not quite as much as they needed now.
No, you couldn't figure out what it was until they stepped forward.
Unlikely to fit that one in the shed.
Yeah.
Did they still have the motorbikes? And
somewhat
weird outfits.
They had the weird outfits, they had the motorbikes, which again are brought into the real world.
Yep.
And they had the big cruiser ship.
Oh, the recognizers. Yeah.
Thank you. The recognizers.
And they had a guy dressed up as Tron Man. Tron guy, didn't they?
Yes!
At the computer game launch. There's somebody there dressed up like Tron guy.
Yeah.
Might even been him, I don't know.
You never know.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I hadn't really seen any of the Trons other than the first one, so going into this was a bit of a shock because it was so fast-paced.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, that first half in particular. Oh,
yeah, it's kind of intense, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So the shock was that once Ares came out of the program, it suddenly switched to a comedy, so there was a bit of pacing there. I was just suddenly everything was really, really funny and I wasn't ready for it.
In a way, it could be sort of compared to Pinocchio. Yeah, the programmer wants to be be human.
Yeah. But Pinocchio didn't disintegrate every 25 minutes.
Well, 29 minutes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It took a bit longer than that for Byrne when he chucked him on the fire. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think my only criticism was I would like a bit more of Gillian Anderson's character.
She did seem wasted.
Yeah. I think she was channeling her in a Margaret Thatcher.
She was Evil Boy's mummy, wasn't she?
Yeah.
That's one of the criticisms I had for this is that there were only three characters in this movie that were paid any attention, and that was Dillinger,
Ares,
mm-hmm. and Eve.
And
those were the only. I mean, there were still some other characters, but they were just little bit parts, and they were really hardly dealt with at all. Well, I mean, they may have had a little bit of stuff to do that was to do the plot upon, but other than that, they didn't really do a lot through the rest of the movie.
Jeff Bridges popped in to sort of just say a few friendly words.
He was definitely channeling his best dude there.
Can I just check? Had he been youthed?
No.
Well, he was at the very beginning.
This is weird, because the bits Ares finds himself in the original Tron and Jeff Bridges comes along, to me, his face looked weird.
Okay, no, sorry, he looks nowadays.
when we have Star Wars now, and that, where they youthed Leia and that, they all looked absolutely fine to me.
At the very beginning, the opening credits, basically, I had a little interview with him back in the 80s.
Yes.
And there he looked a bit uncanny valley because they de-aged him. But other than that, he was
okay. So, as I said, sorry, Jeff Bridges.
For this one, they knew their limitations because they youthed him quite a bit in the last one. And
to ill effect, yeah.
Yeah,
things have moved on a lot since.
It took you out of the picture.
Reality of what you're watching,
But this one, they, except for, as I said, the poor, fuzzy interview copy that we saw
right at the beginning.
Yeah. They had him as he is now.
Yes.
And I think the reason why you think it was a little bit odd is because they essentially went back to the first movie. So they were black and white, but everything around them was colour.
Yeah, and he was slightly transparent too.
Yeah, slightly transparent. That's how that was the look of the first film.
Another complaint I have about it is the fact that they paid lip service to the previous film. Obviously, the previous film,
homages,
Legacy, it was setting up for a sequel, which they've not done. They've gone and done something entirely different.
Yeah.
They could have carried on. The whole point of this film is trying to take objects from the computers and make them into real-world objects and with permanence. We already had that at the end of the last film.
Oh, right, so they were looking for the permanence codes.
If we're talking about Cora, she wasn't a program per se. I mean, she was an isomorphic algorithm.
Same difference as far as the real world's concerned.
Only one side had that, while the bad guys were trying to catch up, deliberately stealing from the good guys at one point.
Espionage. It was very much a MacGuffin film in that regard.
The
permanence code was the MacGuffin.
That was the MacGuffin. I think, going back to what Jay stated, that you only had really three characters.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed this story. It was a good story, but I think there was only story enough for three characters. You introduce, you concentrate more on other characters. I think that would have slowed it down, would have made it a completely different film.
So concentrating more what's his name? Ares is second in command and things
Athena. I think that may have dragged it down slightly.
Wasn't she relentless? I mean, blimey.
One thing took me out of this, just one thing.
Was that I passed you the fruit pastel?
That might have been it. I was really enjoying it all the way through, and I'd worked stuff out, and then they had the bikes and they were doing the charging around.
Yes.
And I noticed, and I couldn't get rid of this thought,
right,
that the light streams behind the bike looked like one of those rolled up fruit sweeties when you stretch them out.
Oh, I remember them, yes.
Yeah, you stretch them all out and they've got like slight divots on either side, and that's what they look like. And so after that, that's all I could think.
A roll of strawberry taffy.
I wouldn't try licking a light cycle trailer.
That's not what took me out of the movie. I mean, for me, it was filmed in Vancouver, and it's a place that I know very well.
I've been there.
And so I can recognize BC Place, and I mean, some of the bridges there are nowhere near Vancouver. Yeah. And it's like, how long can they stay on this bridge? And watching, it's one of the curses I have being familiar with places that are used heavily in film.
Yeah, this is what you get for living in somewhere that's film friendly.
Yes.
Yeah, I get that quite a bit with anything that uses the Greenwich Museums stuff.
I remember you bitching about Misfits, which is filmed in and around.
Misfits are filmed around Thamesmead, which I knew very well.
She's like, well, if you ran down that alley, you wouldn't end up there.
Yeah.
It's ruined. Ruined, I tell you.
But the last Tron one, not Tron one, the last Thor one, and it's like, but you can't no, that's not next to that building. That's 3 miles away.
You've got to accept it's a different world.
The big glass building that got blown up, was that actually a building or...?
I believe it was, but I'm not exactly sure which building it was.
Okay.
So it was meant to be San Francisco, wasn't it? Presumably that's where the original film was set.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I mean, of course, Flynn's original arcade was there, and we did see that at the end. And I don't know if you noticed, I mean, you pointed out the picture of Ed Dillinger in The Office. If you actually were paying attention when Ares was reconstituted in Flynn's arcade, there was a Tron movie poster behind.
Evan Peters, that was the name of the of Dillinger, wasn't it?
Yes, apparently.
The grandson.
Well, should I know him?
I adore Evan Peters. Yes. We'll American Horror Story, the first season, he was pretty much all of them.
I think he's
also Quicksilver.
Yeah, the X-Men Quicksilver.
Okay, I can't remember what character that is.
Everything he's in is really, really good.
He's a damn good actor.
He is, but this is the first time I've hated him.
Which shows how good he was.
Exactly, did a very good job.
Again, he's set up for a sequel, isn't he? He's, just as he was going into the machine, came out Sark.
Yes.
Yeah. And also, if you noticed the outfit that he was wearing.
Mm. Yes. Yeah, Command Program Sark. Yeah. When Ares went down into a Flynn system, I mean, I did have a bit of a fanboy moment. Yeah, seeing the actual 80s style grid.
Yes, I felt
grid.
The seat tremble from where I was.
And the original light cycles as well.
Yes. Yeah, they're slightly dodgy animation in today's standards.
And the bit.
And the bit, yes.
Oh, yes.
Okay, going round. Best parts, worst parts, Adam.
Best part, some of the stuff on the screens, and it seems like things like pseudo killer stuff like that, the real Linux Unixy type stuff going on.
I thought that was rather interesting how the bad guys seem to be using Linux or Unix type systems, and then on the NCOM side, I think I even saw a VMS command in there.
Oh, really? Okay.
And I was thinking, what?
yeah. And also the adversarial network, which is a real thing in neural networks, training neural networks. They're on their homework.
Next week in Computer Corner.
Indeed.
Scott.
Oh, I loved everything 80s about it. That was all the strongest part. I think that the weakest part for me probably would have been the battle at the end. I don't need another battle because it's just every film now ends with a big pitched battle. That could have been scaled down a bit more character with Ares being out in the real world, maybe see the consequences there. But other than that,
really
enjoyed
it. Actually get a little bit of growth with Athena just before she disintegrated. I mean, that was the whole setup with the feeling the rain, how he felt back when he was first brought into the real world for the demonstration.
I enjoyed all of it, pretty much. I say I can't point to any particular thing that I enjoyed the most, but I did like the fact that, as you're pointing out the vein bit, once you take them out of a controlled environment, you no longer have control about what they learn. The bits that I didn't like was necessarily setting up the next film.
Crumbly.
Ooh, I would say all of it. No, it's like one of my favourite scenes was the hack where you see the programs from a Dillinger system go into the NCOM system.
Oh, the attack on the tower.
Mm, yes. They could have sort of toned down the Depeche Mode references a little bit. Yeah, but apart from that, loved it.
Jay?
Good bit. I think some of the nostalgia bit when we went back to the original system was good there. Yep. In terms of bad bit, I'm actually going to have to say the plot. The plot was incredibly basic, and I could tell by the time when Ares was looking, doing the research on Eve, I knew exactly which way it was going to go, and the entire plot from that moment on was absolutely predictable.
I'm with Scott. The 80s stuff was brilliant. The only downsides I had were the light streams that looked like sweeties and the music was a bit overpowering in some places.
Mm. I went back yesterday to watch it in IMAX and there the music is really loud. In fact, the subwoofer is so powerful in there you could feel the seat.
Yeah.
You could feel it in your chest.
It was loud enough in the normal one.
Yeah, but it did mean you didn't overpower the voice too much because they got a better sound system. They got proper sound.
Probably a much better sound system than the one that I saw it at.
Well, yeah, definitely that.
You could barely hear people speak because that centre speaker was absolutely broken.
But he got a voucher.
I got a voucher.
One thing I would point out, which I think is a bit disappointing, is we didn't get Tron in Tron.
Well, Tron died at the end. I mean, he went into that
he's a
thing.
Program.
This was a Tron movie that was not Tron.
How old is Bruce Boxleitner now?
In fact, Bruce Boxleitner wasn't in it. Although I think that was his choice, from what I gather. He didn't want to come back after they cancelled the sequel to the last film. But still, it's a shame that those two aren't in it. They're iconic for Tron.
Right, we would like to know what you chaps and chapesses, etc., thought of Tron Ares. Write to us via show
at
staggeringstories.net.
Woo!
You do very well there.
Oh, thank you so much.
End of line.
Cake!
Keith is very old. We knew this anyway, but he's now a year older. He's now 61.
Ooh, so 61 today. 61 today. Hi ho, diddly yo.
He's in the age now where when you're singing happy birthday to him, you can't sing and many more because it's a bit, you know.
I'm right here, you know.
Come on then, we've got you some presents. Open your present.
Oh, he's too old and
it's
feeble.
An animal special.
Can't rip the wrapping paper. Oh, we did it. What did you get?
It's a Dreddy.
Oh.
A Dread graphic novel. Dread number graphic
novel. Adam, I don't think you could do an entire quarter.
Maybe an eighth.
Cut it into six.
Well, I'm hoping we don't have any duplication.
Have you got another one?
Have you got two of the same Dreads?
No.
Hopefully not.
Hopefully not. But it does look like another Dreddy.
No, it's a different one.
It is. It is. Mm-hmm. It is. Yes, it's a Dreddy number 45.
Woo!
And
a River of London graphic novel.
Oh, which one's that?
This one is Deadly Ever After. Thank you, everybody.
Tell the boys and girls what you got from me.
Oh, I got a watch. I did a cool watch.
He got a watch thingy that links to his phone and all that jazz.
That's his blood pressure.
That's the one. And because, he does his blood pressure and I tell him off.
When my phone rings, I can tap the watch and go, down and safe.
Dear listeners, if any of you are under the age of 30, we really, really apologise. We're old farts. Forgive us.
Down and safe.
The funny thing is, when he got home from work today, we were sort of basically lying on the bed with the dog, and he huggled me, and I must have accidentally tapped the watch, because the watch started ringing, as did his groin, where his phone was.
Fanah. I vibrate.
Apple Watch or something else?
Not Apple.
Oh, no. Not Apple. Okay.
I need to replace my watch. The battery is really bad now. It's original Pixel watch.
I don't have to worry about batteries in my watch, but then it doesn't link to everything. Yeah. It just runs.
It's like that for years.
3 years on that. Yeah. It's not that long, but the new Pixel Watch 4, you can actually replace the battery.
Ah, useful.
This one you can't.
I am currently 124 over 82.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Mine doesn't do blood pressure.
If you could get the Eco Watch,
mine.
If you could get an Eco Watch that was also a smartwatch, so it just basically powered itself.
Powered itself. Okay.
Because that one
plugged into you.
This one I don't have to recharge or anything because it's a mini solar panel on the actual dial face.
Okay.
So I don't have a battery in there. I don't wind it up or anything. It'll basically, as long as there's daylight or light, it'll run, and then I can put it in a cupboard for 6 months.
I'm sure there's plenty of other things you wind up.
Oh, there's a lot of things I wind up. But it'd be nice if they combine the technology.
Well, these draw a lot of power.
But what if there's a nuclear war and there's no sunlight? Then you will not be able to tell the time.
I don't think, should that situation arise, I'll give a flying about the time.
But if an incident arises and there's been a nuclear war and you've somehow survived it and you're with other survivors and they say, right, we know how to clear the atmosphere, what we need is an organic watch with one of those little solar panels on to read the sun for
us. I'm sure there's a lot of citizen watches out there.
They would have all been, because those people were dead.
I've got a calculator. It's got a solar panel.
Save the world with a calculator.
You and I both know, when it comes to end, you know, sort of extinction level events, we die before the credits.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The opening credits or the end credits?
No, the opening credits. We're the people who go, oh, isn't this a lovely day walking the dog? My God, what's that?
What makes you think I'm going to fare any better?
Right, having suffered through what turned out to be quite a good film, the next thing we decided to do was to listen to some Big Finish.
Oh no.
Doctor Who. Pause for music. Could we point out first, Gene, that between us, me and Gene did the homework.
Yeah.
I did the Tron Aries bit, she did this bit.
Oh.
But because we're menopausal women, you're not allowed to bug us over this, or bad things will happen.
And I think we also should point out that this was recommended to us by Terry Malloy.
He was.
Oh, yes.
That's a bit of a vested interest in it, certainly.
Yeah. He did it waving a custom Sonic.
He did, yes.
So what was it we listened to?
We listened to the Eighth Doctor Time War Part 4, Episode 1 and 2. And some of us even listened to the rest of it afterwards.
We did. It's very good.
The four-part box set. First two are one story.
Yeah.
Palindrome.
Palindrome.
Which was about an hour and 42. It didn't seem anything like that long.
No.
I have to say I had it on Alexa. And I could believe this was an hour and 42, to be honest. I thoroughly enjoyed. I mean,
it's a good one. It is one of my favourite doctors, I have to say.
But
surprisingly, he isn't in it a lot.
No.
It is more a Davros story.
The Doctor. Yeah, he's not.
I mean, it's a proper Groundhog Day.
Yes.
And it took me a moment or two to figure out what the heck was going on because I haven't heard any of the other war.
Likewise.
It all starts off very sedately, having breakfast.
Well, the initial setup is the Time War is over, the Time Lords have won, the Daleks have been wiped out. But you don't know that at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
It starts off with, a very sedate Davros having breakfast with his wife just after they have made an important discovery.
Who is a Thal?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the wife is, what is her name?
Shan.
The character has been in the Big Finishes before.
She was in Davros.
She first appeared in Davros, and then she was also in the four-disc...
I, Davros
trial set. So it's semi-rehashing old ground, but it's putting it in a whole new light.
It's always nice to get Terry Malloy out of the chair and away from the modulator, isn't it? And have another sort of lead-in to him becoming Davros, but in a different way, like without the accident, with sort of the Dalek time strategist sort of manipulating all the different time events and pulling him into the role, and you kind of have him fighting it at different points, don't you?
Yeah.
In this one, Charm and Davros had created, what was it called?
A dimensional portal.
A MacGuffin.
A MacGuffin.
And the Daleks don't exist. Their mortal enemy, the Time Lords, who were absolute, total and utter persons of unmarried parentage, were done away with eons ago.
Because somehow the Thals and the Kalids joined forces to defeat the Time Lords.
Yeah.
How can they manage that? I have no idea. take it that they did.
And so I'm not quite sure what the portal was supposed to do. It just is a portal.
Yeah. Scientific endeavour.
It's a scientific endeavour.
Again, it's like Everest. Because it was there, they climbed it, they built it because they could.
Yeah.
See what happens.
See, you have a story. They beat the Doctor and Bliss. They don't recognise Doctor and Bliss, but Bliss and the Doctor recognise them. And then everyone dies.
Yes.
And then time resets.
It starts
on day five. The next is day four.
Mm.
Yes. Yeah. So each time, each day, something happens and basically nearly everyone dies. But each time that Davros dies, you go back a day until you get to day one. And you've got the Dalek strategist involved.
Although quite late, he's spoken about and he's sort of the end of first part.
Yeah, he's sort of like a MacGuffin. Everyone talks about him, everyone moves around him, but you don't see him until the end of the first part.
Yeah.
And Davros's character in the first part, the part one, that's him out of the chair. And then part two, you see the other half of conversations with him in the chair.
Because he meets himself.
Yeah. At the end of disc one, then we start moving forward in time again. Yeah.
That was interesting because you had the able-bodied Davros that's married to the Thal, who knows nothing about Daleks, is a pretty nice guy, etc., etc., and bumps into this abhorrent machine man thing. And just really doesn't get on with it.
Doesn't recognise him.
Doesn't recognise him or anything else, which is the Davros we know and hate. I found that quite interesting, sort of like the character differences.
Yeah. What I also like about it is, although it didn't need explaining, it does explain why the new series Davros looks so different from classic series Davros.
Mm. Okay, I don't know, yes.
Because he's a conglomeration.
Is that the one, I thought the one that we see in Journey's End or whatever it is, I thought he was taken from the Time War by Khan. So he was the original Davros, not this alternate Davros?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But the thing is, the Time War has finished. Because the Daleks come back, the Time War starts again. So this still could be the Davros who died in the Time War and was rescued by Khan.
Could be, yeah.
This portal that they keep going to look at after breakfast, it turns out that the moment, the millisecond they turned it on, the Dalek strategist went, bugger this, we're losing. Escape, escape, escape. Yeah.
Emergency temporal shift.
Temporal shift through the portal into our nice Davros's version of the universe.
Yeah.
And it's about bringing the Daleks through. And it's really because it ends up with amalgamating all the different realities, all the different strands and timelines. So you haven't got the lovely scene where Davros is fighting who he is, because you've got the nice Davros. Then you've got all the various incarnations of him, ranging from other nice Davroses to megalomaniacs that look, one we know look like a sweetheart.
Yeah. And he starts forgetting his wife, doesn't he? There's moments where...
The evil Davroses, there seems to be more of them than the calm, normal human Davroses.
I thought I really enjoyed the sequence where Khaled Davros first wakes up as the chair-bound Davros, and he's sort of reacting to, I'm blind, I can't see or feel anything.
Yeah.
I felt quite sad for him, because I've grown to love Khaled Davros.
There is a couple of moments there while he's sitting there ranting, roaring, then it's going, why am I doing this? Yeah. This isn't me. What's happening?
Yeah. Why can't I stand up? Why can't I get out?
Yeah.
And the poor Doctor and Bliss get killed a lot.
They do.
Yeah. They do. And this was my introduction to Bliss. I've never
she
just kept dying. It's a bit like Rory.
Yeah.
Because again, each time they go, their alternative universe is
version of them. Because it's not actual return, but it's copies of.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And it was quite nice that they keep arranging to meet Davros at the pub. the local boozer at one point. And then when he needs to speak to them somewhere down the line, he then goes, I know where they'll be.
The gallows or noose or something.
It was gallows on. Inn.
Gallows Inn was it, yes.
I thought it's a shame that by the end of it, he forgets Charm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I thought that would be the thing to pull him back somehow. But
we
never
don't know.
Happen,
there may
it?
Be, this may not be the, because it doesn't really finish.
No.
Just the Daleks have been restored.
Yeah.
And then it goes into the next episode of the box sets, which we're not reviewing at this point.
We aren't. I listened to the first few minutes. It didn't immediately seem to carry on, but I'm sure it does.
The third disc doesn't feel like it does, but it does.
Okay.
Yeah. The third disc, best way to describe it, is it takes a step back.
Right.
And does sort of, not do a different story, but does an associated story.
Right, okay.
And then it comes back full in the final disc.
Yeah. And presumably this is box set 4 of 4, I assume, for the Time War series.
Yes. I mean, there's, I think they've gone beyond that now. I don't know what we're up to at the moment. But yeah, there's seems to be two Time War story-like threads. You have the one with McGann and then one with everyone else.
Okay, yeah. Obviously you've got the War Doctor stuff as well.
You've got the War Doctor and you've got the War Master. That's also the Time War. But
War Valiard was that one?
The War Valiard. Is that the previous box?
Is the previous box set. The Valiard shows up.
Right.
If anything, I really want to listen to the rest of the Time War box sets now.
Yeah.
The thing I liked with this one was that I like the idea of the Time Lords being the bad guys. Because if you think back to the Five Doctors and you've got the whole of that black area and their dark path, at some point they were quite they didn't sit around and watch the universe.
They just said they did. We're just observing.
And nice, nasty guys. And it'd be interesting. Yeah, it'd be interesting. I suspect that that's the point at which they went off and start to be the nice guys, omnipotence watching. At some point, there's that divergence where they effectively became the Daleks, the supreme powers, and...
Well, you also have the line from Night of the Doctor. It could be worse. I could be a Dalek. Who can tell the difference anymore?
Yeah.
So what we really need then is the box set for the Celestial Intervention Agency and their antics that we're not... Yeah.
Well, I think there is Gallifrey Time War.
Yeah, that's very much.
Oh, okay, I haven't heard that.
The Gallifrey series does a lot of that, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
I must say the big standout of this is Terry Molloy.
Yes.
Doing the dual
yes.
roles of Davros and Davros.
Yeah.
And the different versions of the coloured Davros. Because they're not all the same, are they?
You can hear him going back and forth between his humanoid self and his more Davros-y self as we know him.
I think the final nail in his coffin, so to speak, was when they fitted the eye stalk.
Yeah.
You know, the ocular implant or whatever it's called. Yeah.
The lovely bit, I cannot see!
Yeah.
He must have felt schizophrenic after he recorded this one.
Yeah. Well, and it gives him a chance to, you know... exercise the acting chops.
Which is obviously why he was promoted, because he was obviously very proud of it. I can see why.
Because it's years later now. When did it...
2020 it came out, so it's probably recorded in 2018, 2019.
Yeah, and he was promoting it this year, so 2025. So, he must have really enjoyed it.
And McGann is great as well. He didn't have a great deal to do, but...
not in these two, no.
No, but he's the old Eighth Doctor as we know him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the way he... What's his nonchalant throughout it?
Yeah.
He has this way of acting where he just... Yeah. But it really works for his Doctor, I think.
And there's that kind of Dr. Leela relationship where he doesn't like Bliss having guns all the time.
Yeah.
Which is always good.
Yeah, I don't know Bliss too well. Is she just a big finish?
Just a big finish. Yeah. Just the Time War so far.
Okay, sounds like you all enjoyed that.
Anyone else listen to it?
I didn't really know what to expect going into this one. And, I mean, I must say, in the first few minutes, not knowing where they were or... who this was, it was a bit of a shock when it was revealed that it was Davros and they were on Skaro. I had said no idea what to expect here. And it was interesting to have a time loop story done in this way where it's not a case of the typical Groundhog Day where you're waking up at the same time and going through the same day. But this was moving backwards and with a short amount of time each time. So I thought that was a slightly interesting spin on it.
It gives you the sense of a countdown, doesn't it?
Mm. Yes.
I mean, I thought this was a prequel story because, as you say, going back in time, and every day starts with, it's like a diary entry, I awaken. Mm.
With him saying that day one.
Mm. Yeah, I definitely was sad to see the nice Davros go at the end of this.
Yeah.
One of these strange stories where you actually have sympathy for Davros.
And with the idea of the Time War being over, it almost gives you that sense of hope that they can sort of bring the old Davros back, the Khaled Davros, by the end.
Mm-hmm.
But no.
He's ranting and raving by the end of it.
Yeah.
Okay, we'd like to know what you thought of this. If you've listened to it, write to us via show
at
Staggering
Stories.
Dot.
Net.
Woohoo.
Right, do we have any feedback?
No feedback.
No feedback.
It's because they've been it's because they've been putting woohoo.
They have.
Don't put woohoo. Don't put woohoo on the end of the email address, for God's sake. Lead us out, Crumbly.
And so, dear listeners, that brings us to the end of another podcast.
Aww.
But never fear, in the next one there'll be more of the same. More fun, frivolity and jollity, more news and reviews, more who old and new. So until that...
T for Tron. Totally...
Tantalising.
Tin.
Teasing.
Titillating.
Terrific.
Tyrannosaurus comes tromping...
Trouncingly.
Towards us.
This is me, Crumbly, saying, be seeing you.
Cheerio.
Farewell.
Goodbye.
Au revoir.
Goodbye.
Satire directed towards people in power is funny. Directed towards people who are hurting is bullying.
That is the lesson for today. You have been listening to the Staggering Stories podcast, Series 1, number 483, featuring Adam Purcell, Andy Simpkins, Fake Keith, Gene Riddler, Asda Man, Keith Dunn and Jay.
Woo!
Views expressed here are those of the speakers, but don't necessarily represent those of the other speakers on the site. No copyright infringement is intended, and this has been an El Presidente and Fake Keith production for www.staggeringstories.net.
So, the routine is sound check, and then we temporarily suffocate ourselves for about 30 seconds.
Oh, yes, yes. It's a new thing we've introduced, the suffocating bit.
Yeah. 483. Yeah.
Yep. You've got to suffocate yourself. You're not allowed to suffocate someone else.
That's frowned upon.
Right. Yeah.
Scott.
I have a gremlin in
Scott,
my...
Scott, don't be so rude.
Scott, how have you got into my little...
Amazon.
Do Amazon run Dropbox?
Amazon runs the world.
It's their cloud.
Jeff Bezos is God.
Why is my... I didn't want the frigging light on.
She's being grumpy.
Wait till the straw collapses.
I haven't even put it in, I don't think.
I've only just inserted mine. We should put the timer on.
I'll have to leave it to the last minute.
I mean, it will stay nice and stiff if you don't suck it too much.
Yeah. Well, I find if you put it in the last minute, it lasts a lot longer.
Okay, yeah.
It stays rigid almost to the end as well.
That's what she said.
I'm staying out of this conversation.
Am I too low like this? Do I need to pop myself up?
You are kind of like talking onto it rather than into it.
You need to sit up straight and then... That's...
Oh, yeah. The first Dalek cliffhanger.
Sit up straight, boy!
Testing, 1, 2, 3.
Yep, looking good.
Ice cream headache. 30 seconds of silence, starting now.
Okay!
It was a gesture that did it.
Your obsession with William Shatner makes me think that you really have feelings for him.
This is disconcerting.
Mm. Yes. Yeah. Seek help.
And this is coming from a Canadian.
Yes.
Doctor Who news. Oh, sorry, I really hit the microphone then quite hard.
You're droopy again there.
Yeah. I just didn't want to interrupt.
I think he needs to go shorter, maybe.
Does the chair go down?
I have no idea.
Put a little less weight.
Have you got any levers there?
Got some sort of knob.
Ooh, missus.
Welcome to carry on.
There we are. As podcast. It goes, I'll slowly.
One of these goats.
We saw we were in a toy shop and they had a goat about that big. you so nearly got it for Christmas.
Pressed a button and it vibrated.
Yeah, yeah, it did.
That was one of those, was it?
It's the perfect.
What kind
Christmas
of toy shop was this?
Back to our summers again, isn't it?
Right.